Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it's 12:03. Steve in for Chad. First hiccup out of the way here on the program. Lindsay Gensel, Susie Jones in the newsroom today. They've gone to that new format on the news. And they've got that tease at the beginning, then they've got that thing at the end. And they've been doing it for, what, a week or two? And I still can't get the hang of that thing.
Well, it doesn't sound like they can get the hang of it either, honesty.
Steve Simpson wrote an email, said, get it together.
It's not been very smooth over at CBS Radio the last couple of weeks.
Because they've been doing it the same way for years.
Oh, yeah.
They had the sounder, and they got right into the news. But now they do that tease, and then they play that thing at the end, and I'm all mixed up. All right, we've got a lot coming up. Once again, Chad is away today. We'll kind of recap Christmas and how did it go? Did you get through it? Are you glad the relatives are on their way home? All of that sort of thing coming up. Then a little bit later on in the hour, we're going to dig into the tax bill, which has become law. What does it mean? And what does it mean for charities? And many charities are concerned about folks in the middle class may scale back what they give to their favorite charity as a result of the change in how we pay our taxes. Todd Frankel will join us from the Washington Post. That's coming up at about 12:35 today. By the way, it's simple for the Vikes. A win, and they're the number two seed in the playoffs. Philly won last night.
Well, and wasn't it close?
Yeah, it was. The Raiders played them pretty tough.
Decent game. I had it turned off. We were squeezing out the last few minutes of watching Christmas movies because I've been told that now I'm cut off. There's no more. Because I've pretty much made my significant other watch every terrible Christmas movie, like the Netflix Hallmark ones.
Oh, yeah.
We've watched the good ones, Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Elf, The Christmas Story, all of the, you know, the ones that are part of our
generation.
It's
a Wonderful Life is an old one, but it's still so good.
Yeah.
Who doesn't tear up at the end of It's a Wonderful Life?
Mm-hmm.
I still do.
I do, too.
And I know how it ends.
And happy belated birthday, Christmas baby. Susie Jones, did you know that?
I did not.
Shares a birthday with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right. I've known Susie Jones for 20 years, and I didn't know that.
You didn't know my birthday was Christmas Day?
I didn't know that.
Well, I complain about it all the time.
How many weekends have we sat in that newsroom and complained about everything?
Not that my birthday ever came up. I know. I'm sorry, Steve.
Well, happy birthday. How does it feel to be 39?
Ah, you're so sweet. My cousin, Vic, said, so how is it to be 47,000? I said, shut up, you little snot rag. You little snot rag. It was quite the day yesterday.
Or is it 38?
55. I am 55 years old.
So you're a
woman. You're confident saying that. I love it.
So you're a woman who's not afraid to say her age because there are some that won't. There's men that won't. As a matter of fact, I don't like to admit that I'm 53.
Yeah. I didn't know I was that much older than you. I embrace my age. I don't care.
Well, and the issue is once you have children, you can't really start lying about your age, you know, like, Mom, I love you, but the bit about being 47 now that I'm 31 doesn't put you in the brightest light. It doesn't. The math doesn't work out that way.
You know, my mom is still one of those, and I think it's a generational thing. She doesn't want anybody to know that she was born during World War II. Sorry, Mom.
But again, the older you get, just how it works.
That's exactly right. People see me and then kind of do the math and go, okay.
I will tell you this. I lived next to a gentleman in Uptown who had lived there since our building had opened in the late 50s. His wife had passed away in the 80s, and he was living there by himself. He was 105 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And to this day, every time I'm in Uptown, I drive by to make sure he's okay. Be 105.
Wow.
The cutest moment ever, and I was reminded of this because of Facebook, was a few years ago when he came home from his he was a member at the Masons.
Oh, yeah?
He came home from the Masons Christmas party in a tuxedo. Now, let me tell you, there is nothing cuter in life than a 105-year-old man in a tuxedo with a bow tie.
Oh.
It was the best. Yeah, age is just a number, in all honesty.
Is he still alive?
I honestly don't know.
You need to drive over there.
I know. Yeah. I need to go check out. I haven't been there in a while.
Right, right, right. So did you have a good holiday?
I did.
Good.
But let's do this. Let's get into the news.
Okay.
Because we'll have plenty of time to talk about Christmas. And I know you have a story you want to share.
I do.
So let's do this.
All right.
It is the day after. Chad Hartman is away. Steve Thompson sitting in. They went way down the depth chart. You know, in football, they've got a depth chart where there's the starter. There's the backup. I guess you could call me on the practice squad, maybe. They called me up from the practice squad now. Saturdays and Sundays, typically here on CCO, you hear me filling in for Mike Maddox from time to time. Once again, Chad is away. Lindsay Gensel in studio. And, of course, Susie Jones in the newsroom today. I call it the day after. Mm. And I stopped at my other job this morning. I've got a full-time job during the week. And I drove down to Eden Prairie, and it was great on the roadways. I love these holiday weeks because there's just no one on the roads. It was, I don't know about you, but it was a complete breeze getting in here. So that was a good thing.
Well, after I warmed my car up for 30 minutes,
that's exactly
then it was okay.
And we're going to try and get Dan Burns a little bit later to talk about how to keep your car running in the bitter cold. That can be a challenge. But a breeze on the roads, very quiet around the building today. It feels like a Saturday or a Sunday here at CCO. So pretty, pretty laid back. But at my other job, everyone was saying, it's over. I got through it. Does everybody share that sentiment? When you get through that, it's kind of like I made it. I got through.
Well, I think personally this year, I feel like it was very easy.
You do?
Well, we purposely planned it that way. My father passed away in August, so it's kind of the first major holiday where we had to pivot, so to speak. Yeah. You know, it's a new normal. Mm-hmm. You are going to keep some family traditions, which we did. We fondue every year. My entire life, we fondue on Christmas Eve, and it's a long, drawn-out process, and it was great. We did it again this year, but it was much smaller. My sister is doing a show out in Berkeley, so she was gone, which meant that her husband was not there, and their dog.
Mm-hmm.
My other sister and her husband went to Arizona to see my other sister.
Oh.
So my mom had their dogs. So we actually had three adults and three dogs and a cat. So it was we were outnumbered by animals. But we had a great time. We went down to my mom's, my boyfriend John and I, and hung out, and there was no expectations, and we ate when we wanted to, and we ended up on Christmas Eve. We watched Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
What'd you think?
I loved it.
Great movie.
I mean, it's not really a Christmas movie.
No.
But it was wonderful, and we slept in and drank coffee, and yesterday we did John's family, which there's kids, so it was a very different dynamic, but it was one day. And we had a lot of fun. We ate a lot of great food. And then we went home last night and went to bed.
Nice.
And I feel I came to work and I was ready to get back here, get back into a groove.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine that for you, because you have children.
I do.
It's a little bit more crazy because the gift giving.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't know about you, Susie, but my kids are at the age where it's gotten a lot easier. They just want money.
Yeah.
I mean, more than usual.
Is that easier, though?
But I think it is, because once upon a time it was like, well, do you think they want this toy or do they want that toy? And then they got a little bit older and clothes became a – I have two girls and I have
– You're not going shopping for the outfits?
So I was good when they were young with toys, and now I'm good just going to the ATM or going to the bank. And give me a C note. Or two C notes and call it good.
Yeah.
So nice. It's really easy, right? I don't know about you, Susie, because your kids and my kids are about the same age.
Right. Well, I have a couple of stories to share about Christmas as I reflect, and I will tell you that I'm not going to tell all of the stories because I don't want to make, like you said, people are listening, and I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. First of all, my mom had 30 people in her house.
Ooh.
And so I was very concerned about food because she was making ham and potatoes, and people were bringing things, but I was like, you know, I really got to step it up. So I usually make sweet potatoes and green beans, but I thought, you know, I'll add something. And so my friend Lisa gave me a recipe for very easy lasagna, and I thought, well, heck. And I had time. I spent like a big chunk of time putting it all together the night before, okay? So it was all prepared to just be baked Christmas morning. Okay, so I baked the lasagna first, and I set it on the stove. And then I have the rest going on, and I'm tootling around the house getting things ready. And my friend Sim, who now lives with me from Venice, California, has a dog named Birdie. And Birdie is a boxer, a pit bull mix. She's a rescue dog, and she has got more energy than I've ever seen in one animal in my life. And she's naughty.
Oh, no.
So I look in the kitchen, and I see the tinfoil on the floor, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, the tinfoil's on the floor. And I look, and this dog, I kid you not, has eaten almost three quarters of the pan of lasagna, hot lasagna, devoured it. And I almost started to cry. My daughter came up and I'm like, Birdie just ate the lasagna. And I was just like tears in my eyes. I was like, what? Anyway, so that was number one. And I was really sad, but I whipped up another because I had actually luckily bought more lasagna noodles.
Hey, Martha, slow it down over there.
I know,
my
right?
Goodness.
Wow. Well, it wasn't as good as the first pan. But
I would have gone and bought Stouffer's
at
the grocery
store. Christmas
That's quick
Day.
Lasagna to me.
Nothing's but. Open Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So anyway, so for Christmas, wake up, kids get up late because everybody parties. I will say they really went balls to the walls on parties this holiday, both those. My children are 24 and 22.
I remember those days.
Yeah.
It goes real quickly. So by 31, they'll be in bed. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, they Ubered, so I was happy.
Good.
But anyway, so I got Josephine WeatherTech floor liners. Very expensive.
Nice gift.
Wireless phone charger, you know, from Verizon. Sure. 60, 70. No, I think it was $70. I got Ben running shoes because he's going to run in Grandma's. I mean, I really, really... Gosh, you know, and I've just been working and shopping and working.
You're a good mom.
Goodness gracious, I try, Steve.
But the point is coming.
It is. The one thing Josie said she wanted were smart wool socks from Hoygaards. And I was so flipping tired. I was like, I just can't go to one more store. So I got her socks from Macy's, boot socks. And Ben got her like something. And she opened her gifts, and then she and Ben drove separately over to my mom's. And on the way over, she said to Ben, I'm really sad. I'm really hurt that no one got me smart wool socks. So at the end of the night, I'm at my mom's, and I'm just about, I am toast, man. I am so tired. And I'm sitting in my coat, and my mom's like, would you stay for 5 more minutes so we can talk about Christmas? And I'm like, I don't want to stay for 5 more minutes. But I sat there in that coat, and I let her rail about all the things she was upset about. And Ben says, you know what, Mom? I said, what? He said, you really blew it. I said, what? He said, you really hurt Josie's feelings for not getting her smart wool socks. And I was just like, I mean, I'm not kidding you. I said, what are you talking about? It's that point at which you could either kill someone or fall into a puddle of tears.
Right.
And I was just like, I stood up.
And you don't drink.
I don't drink. I would have done 12 shots. I stood up and I said, Ma, I'm going home. I'm done. So we got in the car, went home. And, oh, I forgot my last thing before we take the break. Josie got me for Christmas a flat screen smart TV. A beautiful 40-inch, gorgeous Hulu, Amazon.com, Netflix.
So we know where you'll be for the next 6 months on your couch.
Exactly.
So anyway, that was my day. It was very full. It was very loud. Oh. There were thousands of presents. There was thousands of people. It was very loud. Did I mention that? It was very loud. No animals, but we had babies. So I'm actually really grateful to be at work. I feel grounded.
When does Hoygaard's open?
I don't know, but I'm going over there.
Maybe we'll get you a free pair of Smart Wool socks.
But isn't it amazing, though, how the smallest things can throw a wrench in? And that's the thing about it. All these expectations, and it's hard to meet those at this time of year. And I think that's what freaks everybody out.
And to know, to not know what that one little thing is that's going to be the thing that, you know.
Yeah, but it also is a lesson in gratitude. I love to give gifts. I have a really hard time accepting gifts. Mm-hmm. Like right now, a lovely woman left a surprise gift on my desk, and it makes me incredibly uncomfortable.
Here?
Yeah. Like I don't even know what to do. But there is a lesson in learning how to be grateful that someone thought of something, and I don't think it's something that you learn in one spot, you know?
No.
I think it's something that just kind of
happens. You know, I wish that everyone realized. And I know that's such a cheesy thing to say, but really it is the thought. Do you know that it's like, appreciate that everybody's busting their butt trying to get this day to be as good as it can be, and just stay there. Don't go, well, why didn't I? You know, just anyway, whatever. It's fine. I'm just glad it's over.
Yeah, isn't it? There's a lot of people in that boat for sure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good memories as the families head home. We're going to take a quick break. Steve, Susie, Lindsay, Chad is away today. We've got more coming up here on CCO. Chad is away today. Steve Thompson sitting in. You typically hear me Saturdays and Sundays here on CCO. Thanks so much for joining us. Lindsay Gensel is here. Susie Jones in the newsroom. A cold day, 2 below. We'll have more on the weather coming up on CCO. Susie, like I said, we worked together for over
long
20
time.
Years. I didn't know that you were a Christmas baby.
Yep.
Now, when you were a kid, that had to be
awful.
Really tough. Now, did they divide up the day where it's kind of like, all right, we're going to have a birthday party for Susie and get her a cake and get her these gifts?
Because
I was born in July 3rd to be exact. So I was in really good shape. I had the birthday and I had
4th of July.
That had to be tough.
It was tough. I'm just saying. It was a bad day to have a birthday. I'm just saying that in my life, I have experienced many birthdays where at the party, people have forgotten to say happy birthday. At the Christmas party, it's late in the day, and someone goes, oh, right, it's Susie's birthday. Like, it gets lost. But now I will say, because I also tend to over-dramatize. I don't know if you know that about me or not.
No, I haven't noticed that in 2 decades.
And so I've made up some of the misery just to make myself seem more, you know, sad and forlorn. But anyway, so 1 year, Star Tribune asked for people who had Christmas birthdays to write in what it's like to have your birthday on Christmas Day. So I wrote this long letter about the woe is me and it's my birthday and it's Christmas and if I even get a birthday present, it's wrapped in Christmas paper. And I said my sister 1 year bought me socks and wrapped one as a birthday present and one as a Christmas present.
As only a sister or a brother could do.
Let me add, it was all a lie. I fabricated the entire story, and it all got printed. And so then the next year, my sister, in fact, gave me one sock for Christmas and one sock for my birthday.
So you fabricated the woe is me thing, and it did get published.
It did, yeah. My
ink on paper.
It. Yep, it's in my baby book.
Wow.
I mean, this was when I was in my 20s, but yeah. So anyway, it's all right. I mean, there are pros and cons, obviously, because I would never be able to have so much fun with my cousins. All my cousins, the Nelsons, and all of us are together, you know. So we sing happy birthday because my son Benny's birthday is on the 23rd. So we kind of jam that all together.
You know, don't they think there should be some sort of rule or unwritten rule of you can move your birthday out of that window? that if you're born in that week before or week after, you can move it to another date on the calendar.
That would be good.
No problem.
My grandmother had 9 children and 2 of my uncles, actually share a birthday.
Wow.
But because they were born on the farm, my grandma changed one of them to a day later so that they wouldn't have the same birthday. And we just found out about this about 5 years
ago.
Wow,
that's a wild family story.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt.
She wanted them both to feel special.
Sure.
That is pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Susie.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And once again, check on Hoygaards.
Yes.
Find out when they close today.
I told her she could get a pair of socks a month for the rest of 2018. But then, don't get me started. Then I'm just like, what am I doing? I'm like,
I would just
pampering
get her,
them. I'm spoiling her. I'm
I would just get her the socks and move on. 12:33.
All right.
We have got the traffic and the weather coming up here on the CCO. Thanks so much for joining us here on the 26th, the day after. People slowly getting back at it, but very quiet on the roadways today. Quiet here in the building. A number of folks still have the day off today. Chad Hartman has a day off. Once again, Steve Thompson, Lindsay Gensel, Susie Jones in the newsroom today here on CCO. Of course, the big tax overhaul bill was signed by President Trump on Friday. It is now the law of the land, and everyone's in the mode of trying to figure out individuals, how this will impact them, businesses large and small. But what about charities? Well, Todd Frankel of the Washington Post did a story on that, and the headline, Charities for Your Tax Bill Could Turn Philanthropy Into a Pursuit Only for the Rich. Pleasure to visit with you, Todd. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and you talked to charities large and small to get a feel for this, and many are concerned.
Yeah, there's widespread concern in the nonprofit world because the way the tax reform bill, they left the deduction as it is, but what they did is they made other changes in the tax bill that'll make about 30% of Americans itemize their taxes, and about 80% of those take the charitable deduction, but that's expected to fall to about 5%. Next year with all the changes. And so charities are worried about, if people aren't taking the deduction, maybe they won't be making donations.
Yeah, and I thought about this after reading your story, and it's kind of like, do people make these charitable contributions based on the idea that they're going to get a little help from Uncle Sam on that? And I suppose the psychology of that, we'll know for sure in the coming years how that works.
Yeah, and that's exactly how people who made the change and support it sort of say, well, no one makes a deduction based on the makes a contribution based on the deduction. And that's true, I think, but I think it does affect, and this is what the charities say, is they're predicting next year that donations across the country will fall 4.5%, which is about $13 billion out of a $390 billion that are donated to charities. So it's not going to disappear. People aren't going to stop giving. But without the deduction, I think the fear is that people will change how they donate. All those year-end appeals that you get, get your tax deduction in for 2017, those are going to have less allure because there's only 5% of the population that's going to apply to. And then, people might say, if the tax code is going to treat, a purchase from Walmart the same that it does my charitable deduction, I mean, then you start drawing from the same pot of money, and it's you'll give some money, but will you give that same amount? And that's the thing that charities are worried about.
And these charities, churches, lobbied very hard against this bill.
Yeah, they did. They pressed their case very hard. And the way the tax bill was structured, again, is that they left the charitable deduction the same, but they made other changes. Mm. So actually what the charities had to go in and ask for was to make the charitable deduction even bigger. So we'll go from itemizers to everyone could take it. And so that's what they went in with. And, they met with, Kevin Brady and different legislators, and they couldn't get any buy-in on that because, quite frankly, the price tag of doing something like that would be so high that all the other tax cuts then would come into play. So they're really between a rock and a hard place, and ended up, losing out, quite frankly.
I suppose these charities, like many others, as I said at the top, individuals, businesses, how this will impact them, have any considered changes in how they do business, changes in how they solicit donations in the future?
Yeah, I was talking to the United Way, and they were quite frank about the idea that, they're going to have to start pursuing the big donors more. And that's what the sort of headline was about, is that the people who still will be able to deduct this from their taxes are the wealthy. And so then charities are left in this place where, all right, we're already seeing this trend where there's fewer people who are making these huge donations, and they're making up for a large proportion of our overall pie. So do we have to go after them even harder now because, well, the middle-class donors no longer going to have the deduction, and we are not sure what they're going to do? And so, yeah, the United Way was quite frank about the idea that they're going to have to pursue, you know, the people who give $10,000, $50,000, $100,000 even harder than they have in the past, because the people giving $50, $100, $200 aren't going to be as numerous as they were in the past.
What about religious institutions, people's house of worship, whatever that is? Do they expect to see changes?
They do. I mean, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops wrote a letter coming out pretty explicitly against changing the charitable deduction, and others as well. You know, there's other groups representing them. You know, one thing that's interesting is that, you know, some religions have different ways of handling the money issue, you know, either giving in the plate or do you write a check at the end? And so I think there's less worry. Again, charitable, you're not going to stop giving altogether to your house of worship. But, you know, when you're choosing between $50 here or $50 there, and again, the tax code's going to treat that the same, and you're no longer going to get this extra benefit from giving to your church, well, then you're making a choice that you didn't have to make before. And that's what's alarming.
Yeah, and I suppose the strategy of attracting big donors is a whole lot different than maybe the middle class donor as well. And I'm sure those strategies, and will there need to be more cocktail parties and benefits and those types of things?
Exactly. Yeah, you know, those little things that they give to the big name donors. Again, what was interesting too is that these charities know that wealthy individuals actually have a different giving history than the middle class does. So they are, the wealthy are more likely to give to museums, right? Or universities. You know, you think about the famous stories of people getting a hospital wing named after them. Those are where the wealthy tend to focus their big contributions. Well, you know, the local soup kitchen, you know, the local arts nonprofit, that is generally not supported by the millionaires of the world. That's supported by somebody down the street. And so the worry is that, you know, what are they going to do, especially? Museums and, you know, the hospitals are still going to get those big checks because they're still going to be tax deductible. But will the smaller gifts change? And that's the question.
I wonder if these charities will give up or continue to pursue the legislators, whether it's at the local congressman or just lobby as a group in Washington to make small tweaks to this thing going forward. That, sure, it passed this year, but as we know, things can change.
Yeah, no, they definitely made clear they were not giving up this fight. I think what they are sort of planning to do is to really keep track of how things change this coming year in 2018. Unfortunately, we won't have a good sense of that until fairly late in the year. And especially, you know, there's going to be a lot of confusion going into 2018 where people don't realize that, you know, where they itemized their taxes and took the charitable contribution in 2017, the current year, they might not no longer be eligible for that next year, and they won't know that right away, you know, because there's a line there. So there's a lot of confusion. They're definitely not going to give up this fight. You know, and if they come back, if we find out in a year's time that contributions are down and the United Way is struggling, and, you know, they'll have a sympathetic audience, I think, in Congress.
Do you think some of these charities will pool their resources going forward? I know you talk to a lot of different charities and a lot of different groups for this story, but do you think that on the lobbying side they may team up? Do you think on the fundraising side there may be some alliances formed?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, sort of reducing their overhead, right, by joining forces.
Right.
And that's sort of, you know, what United Way does already. You know, they're sort of the clearinghouse for local contributions. You know, this idea that you give to United Way and they'll give to the food bank and the soup kitchen and all that. And, yeah, we'll see further, I guess, you know, to borrow from the business world, consolidation in the charity world. If funds get tight, then, you know, there'll be consolidation. But it really will be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, some people are convinced, as Kevin Brady, the one of the main tax writers on the Hill, told the folks from the charities, is that he's convinced that this tax reform will spur economic growth, which will lead to more contributions. And if that happens to be true, that'll be great. I just think the charities don't buy into that right now.
Yeah, and there are a lot of jobs in these nonprofits as well, and you would assume that that there could be an impact there as well, that there could be layoffs.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get a chance to get into the story, but, you know, in addition to the 4.5% reduction in contributions they expect next year, they're talking about the loss, the potential loss of 200,000 nonprofit sector jobs. And that you're exactly right that these are not just gifts that go directly to people. There's services that are employed and, you know, different things that you need people to do. And if there's money's not there, then, you know, those people are going to get laid off. So it really will be interesting to see how it plays out.
All right. And I would assume you're going to continue to pursue this story and see how it plays out in the coming months and years.
Yeah, no, definitely going to keep an eye on this one. It's been amazing, actually, how much attention this has gotten, because it really did strike people as an interesting fallout from the tax reform bill.
All right, Todd. Pleasure to visit with you.
Oh, thanks so much.
All right, there he is, Todd Frankel from the Washington Post. The story headline, Charities Feared Tax Bill Could Turn Philanthropy Into a Pursuit Only for the Rich. Very interesting indeed. It is 12:49. It's the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to learn out why Lindus is a top installer of GAF asphalt shingles in the upper Midwest. Thanks so much for joining us on this 26th of December, the day after Christmas. Everyone returning to normal, getting things sorted out, put away, maybe some returns done. Very quiet on the roadways today. We'll continue to keep an eye on the roads with Susan Carr in our traffic center. And the weather, it's going to stay chilly, too, below. Partly cloudy winds out of the west at 9 miles an hour. We had that wind chill advisory expire at noon today, but it is going to stay cold. And then it looks like snow in Wednesday night into Thursday. Thursday morning commute, Thursday evening commute could be a major problem. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. And when it's this cold, you've heard the story, Lindsay. The chemicals don't work, the salt on the roads. So Thursday could be a major problem, even if we get an inch or two. That's a bummer. But we'll keep an eye on that for you here at CCO. Plenty of football today. Quick rundown of the bowl games. Are you ready for these, Lindsay? These are going to move the meter. The Heart of Dallas Bowl is underway right now. West Virginia and Utah. Utes lead at 7-0 on that one. Then you've got the always popular Quick Lane Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the Quick Lane Bowl. That's always on my right at the top of my list.
And then something called the Cactus Bowl in Phoenix. By the way, Quick Lane Bowl, Northern Illinois and Duke, oh boy, at 4:15. And then the Cactus Bowl, Kansas State takes on UCLA in Phoenix. One other sports tidbit I want to get into. If you didn't stay up late, if you were worn out from Christmas, the Wolves did get a big W in L.A. over the Lakers. That was a 9:30 start here on CCO. And the Wolves win again, 124-101, their first ever win on Christmas.
Well, and isn't it kind of a rarity for them to even be playing on Christmas?
Yeah, they got the honor. And this is quite an honor.
To be the TNT game, right? Because that's like a...
Well, to really play at all on Christmas Day in the NBA is now a big honor. You're either a contender or one of those teams that's up and coming, and the Timberwolves fit the bill. They're able to play and beat the L.A. Lakers, once again, 121-104. Jimmy Butler, 23 points. Karl Anthony Towns, 21 points, 10 rebounds. The Lakers were shorthanded. Lonzo Ball didn't play in the game, but the Wolves get it done anyway, and they're playing pretty well right now. So they return home to Target Center tomorrow night. We'll be on the air at 6:30, tip 7 o'clock. John Foki and then Alan Horton, then a back-to-back. They'll be on the road at Milwaukee on Thursday. And then, once again, they get Indiana in Indianapolis on Sunday, and then right back home on New Year's Day to play those same L.A. Lakers. So the Wolves hit the 20-win plateau with a win over the L.A. Lakers. I didn't stay up for the end of the game. I was cooked. By the time family had cleared out and I was picking up the beer bottles and pop cans.
I put myself to bed last night. My boyfriend is in off season, so he doesn't have to work right now. Or
nice.
He isn't working right now, so he gets to stay up a little bit later. But I,
yeah, you had
I peaced out.
Yeah, I was done. I said, all right, the Wolves look like they might get it done tonight. I'm going to hit the hay.
Well, and whenever I do stay up late, or I have a night on the town during the week, something major happens news-wise the next morning to quickly kick me out of whatever little stupor I was in.
It's funny how that works. Two Below here in the cities. We have all the news and weather at 1 hour number two of the program. Steve in for Chad here on a Tuesday. CECO.
Fire crews in Lakeville and Hibbing investigating two deadly house fires that took the lives of three people this morning. Details coming up at 1:08 on WCCO and KMNB FM HD2 Minneapolis, St. Paul.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.